This is the extended edition of the Coffee Break Spanish magazine. It's the 10th of October, 2012. Estáis escuchando Coffee Break Spanish. You're listening to Coffee Break Spanish. My name is Mark and I'm your host for this show. I'll be guiding you through the episode, helping you understand all our fantastic content. This week, we'll be joining Alba on the streets of Barcelona, where she is talking to passers-by about el verano, the summer. Laura has a really interesting idiomatic expression for us in this episode, and we'll join JP and Nayeli in Seattle, who'll be answering a question from one of our listeners. All this coming up in this episode of... Coffee Break Español! So how does this Coffee Break Spanish magazine work? Well, we're producing the show in seasons of 10 episodes, and in this first season, each episode will have three elements. And each of these elements is in response to what the Radiolingua language learning community has been asking for. First of all, we're bringing you real, authentic interviews with native Spanish speakers. We've actually been out filming in the streets of Barcelona, and those of you who have listened to our Showtime Spanish course will remember Alba, and you'll be delighted to know that Alba is presenting this part of our show. Now, although these interviews are coming from Barcelona, we've actually interviewed Spanish speakers from all around the world, and you'll be getting a range of accents and even vocabulary in our interviews. So that's the first part of our magazine show. The second part involves idiomatic expressions, and for this I'm joined by a new member of the Radiolingua team. Laura will be here with me in the studio for this segment, and Laura will be introducing us to an idiomatic expression, an expression that's used in everyday language, but that means something different literally from what it means idiomatically. So just as in English, where we would say, it's raining cats and dogs, or I have butterflies in my stomach, these don't literally mean that there are animals falling out of the sky or that there are insects inside me. The Spanish language has a huge range of idiomatic expressions too, and Laura will be introducing one idiomatic expression per episode to us. Finally, we are answering your questions about grammar or about usage. And for this part of the show, we're going over to Seattle, where JP and Nayeli are based, and they've been running Q&A Spanish for Radiolingua over the past year. JP and Nayeli will answer a listener's question, and this could be about anything, so stay tuned for that part of the show. Just before we go over to Alba in Barcelona, I'd like to explain a little about the difference between the free and premium versions of this show. And this is my opportunity to say to you, muchas gracias. Thank you very much for purchasing this premium version and becoming a premium member of this season of Coffee Break Spanish magazine. This premium edition of the magazine has a special extended version of the audio content. The idiomatic expressions segment with Laura and the Q&A Spanish listeners questions segment with JP and Nayeli are the same in both the free and the premium versions of the course. However, with the interview content, we've included additional analysis and discussion of the language used in these interviews, and in some cases, we've even included additional interview responses. And of course, as a premium subscriber, you also get access to the video versions of the interviews. And with the videos, you'll see the actual interviews taking place, and you'll see subtitles on the screen also to allow you to understand even more fully the content that we've provided. And finally, there is a full lesson guide, which will help you get the most out of each edition of the Coffee Break Spanish magazine. You should have all the information as to how to access this already. If not, head over to coffeebreakspanishmagazine.com. Now, of course, we won't be going through all this detailed information in every edition of the Coffee Break Spanish magazine. I thought it would be useful, however, to explain how things work for this first edition. Okay, it's time now to go over to Alba in Barcelona. Hola, Alba.
Hola, Mark.
And our question for you, Alba, is... ¿Cuál es la pregunta del día? What is the question of the day?
La pregunta del día de hoy es ¿Cómo pasabas el verano cuando eras niño?
Alba's question then, ¿Cómo pasabas el verano? How did you spend? How did you used to spend using the imperfect tense? ¿Cómo pasabas el verano cuando eras niño? When you were a child. Or how did you spend your summers as a child? Let's now listen to some of our responses.
De viaje en alguna playa, en algún sitio de México.
De niño, el verano lo pasaba en el pueblo de mis padres, de mi madre más concretamente. Es un pueblo de Galicia, muy pequeñito, y lo pasábamos siempre, cuando podíamos en la playa y cuando no lloviendo, que era el clima de allí.
Pues solíamos ir en familia, somos una familia numerosa, tenemos muchos hermanos, y pues solíamos estar un mes en una ciudad, o en Galicia, o en Almería, normalmente en la playa, en el agua casi 24 horas y nadando y corriendo, poco más.
I did promise you real authentic Spanish spoken at real authentic speeds. Let's have another listen.
De viaje en alguna playa, en algún sitio de México.
De niño, el verano lo pasaba en el pueblo de mis padres, de mi madre más concretamente. Es un pueblo de Galicia, muy pequeñito. Y lo pasábamos siempre, cuando podíamos en la playa y cuando no lloviendo, que era el clima de allí.
Pues solíamos ir en familia, somos una familia numerosa, tenemos muchos hermanos, y pues solíamos estar un mes en una ciudad, o en Galicia, o en Almería, normalmente en la playa, en el agua casi 24 horas, y nadando y corriendo, poco más.
Después de tantos recuerdos, vamos a volver contigo.
Muchas gracias, Alba, y hasta la semana que viene. Okay, it's time now to go through some of these answers in more detail. The first interviewee probably gave the most easy to understand answer. See which words you can pick out here.
De viaje en alguna playa, en algún sitio de México.
You probably recognized a few words in there. The interviewee mentioned viaje, journey, playa, beach, and also México, Mexico. So as a child, he spent his summers traveling to different places and different beaches in Mexico. Let's listen to the second answer now, and this is a little more complicated.
De niño, el verano lo pasaba en el pueblo de mis padres, de mi madre más concretamente. Es un pueblo de Galicia, muy pequeñito.
So he mentions Galicia, an area in the northwest of Spain. What does he say about the specific house that he stayed in?
De niño, el verano lo pasaba en el pueblo de mis padres, de mi madre más concretamente. Es un pueblo de Galicia, muy pequeñito.
So he says there, el verano lo pasaba en el pueblo de mis padres. So I spent the summer in the village of my parents. And he then specifies by saying, de mi madre más concretamente. More concretely, literally, more exactly, of my mother. And this little village is un pueblo de Galicia, a town or a village of Galicia. So he's basically saying that he spent his summers in his mother's house in this tiny village in Galicia. He then mentions something about what he used to do, and it was a little bit weather dependent.
Y lo pasábamos siempre, cuando podíamos en la playa y cuando no lloviendo, que era el clima de allí.
Now, of course, real people in real situations, especially when you're put on the spot by an interviewer in this kind of situation, don't always use perfect sentences, and that's the case here. Have a listen again and see if you can work out exactly what he's saying.
Y lo pasábamos siempre, cuando podíamos en la playa y cuando no lloviendo, que era el clima de allí.
So, slowing that down a little, he said, lo pasábamos siempre cuando podíamos, so we spent it, always when we were able to, en la playa, on the beach. Y cuando no lloviendo, and when not raining, when it wasn't raining, que era el clima de allí. That was the climate of there. So basically, he's saying, whenever they were able to, they used to go to the beach when it wasn't raining, and that was the climate of that particular place where he grew up. Let's listen now to our final speaker on this interview.
Pues solíamos ir en familia, somos una familia numerosa, tenemos muchos hermanos, y pues solíamos estar un mes en una ciudad, o en Galicia, o en Almería.
Now, this speaker does speak particularly fast, so we'll split this one up. Listen to that section again, and see if you can identify what he says at the beginning. He talks about muchos hermanos.
Pues solíamos ir en familia, somos una familia numerosa, tenemos muchos hermanos y pues solíamos estar un mes en una ciudad o en Galicia o en Almería.
He begins by saying solíamos ir en familia. This comes from the verb soler, to tend to do something, and it's a really useful verb, especially when you're talking about the past. Solía, yo solía, nosotros solíamos. We tended to go as a family. And he specified that they were a very numerous family. Somos una familia numerosa. So they're a numerous family, a big family, and tenemos muchos hermanos. We have lots of brothers and sisters. Remember that hermanos in the plural can refer to both brothers and sisters. Listen to this next section and see if you can spot any particular words or phrases which will help you understand what he's saying.
Normalmente en la playa, en el agua casi 24 horas y nadando y corriendo poco más.
So to slow that down, generalmente en la playa, generally on the beach, en el agua casi 24 horas, almost 24 hours a day in the sea, nadando, swimming, y corriendo, running around, poco más, not much else. So with his brothers and sisters, he used to spend most of the summer at the beach, swimming in the water almost 24 hours a day and running around. It's interesting to note the idea of pasar tiempo, or in this case, pasar el verano, haciendo algo, using the gerund form. And that's the one that ends in A-N-D-O or I-E-N-D-O. Yo pasaba el verano nadando en el mar. Pasaba el verano jugando con mis amigos. Or, bringing it to a more recent time, he pasado este fin de semana leyendo un libro. I spent this weekend reading a book. So using the gerund form here with the verb pasar. Let's listen one more time to the three interviews.
La pregunta del día de hoy es, ¿cómo pasabas el verano cuando eras niño?
De viaje en alguna playa, en algún sitio de México.
De niño, el verano lo pasaba en el pueblo de mis padres, de mi madre más concretamente. Es un pueblo de Galicia, muy pequeñito, y lo pasábamos siempre, cuando podíamos en la playa y cuando no lloviendo, que era el clima de allí.
Pues solíamos ir en familia, somos una familia numerosa, tenemos muchos hermanos, y pues solíamos estar un mes en una ciudad o en Galicia o en Almería, normalmente en la playa, en el agua casi 24 horas y corriendo poco más.
So, muchas gracias, Alba, and thanks also to all our interviewees who took part in these interviews for this episode. We'll be back again with Alba next time. It's time now to move on to the second section of our magazine show, and that's where we say hello to Laura. Hola, Laura, ¿qué tal?
Hola, Mar, ¿qué tal?
Yo, muy bien. Y entonces tú eres española, ¿no?
Sí, soy española. Nací hace 27 años en España, en Granada, en el sur de España.
¿Y estás trabajando o estudiando aquí?
Bueno, mi objetivo primero fue venir para practicar inglés, así que ahora me dedico a perfeccionarlo con un par de cursos en la universidad.
Muy bien. ¿Y cómo es tu inglés?
Well, I think it is improving.
Good, excellent. You're going to be speaking mostly in Spanish for our little sections each week, and you have been looking for some idiomatic phrases to help our listeners. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Bueno, Laura, tengo una pregunta. Tú tienes un acento un poco distinto, ¿no?
Sí, en Andalucía solemos hablar con un tono diferente. Además, no pronunciamos las eses finales y además a veces nos comemos letras.
Os coméis letras.
Nos comemos letras.
So you eat your letters, literally.
Sí, sí.
Os coméis letras. Bueno, para nosotros vas a hacer un esfuerzo muy grande, ¿no?
Voy a hacer un esfuerzo y estoy segura de que me van a entender perfectamente nuestros amigos.
Pues perfecto. Cada semana tú vas a traernos una frase interesante, una frase idiomática.
Os voy a traer una frase que significa algo diferente a lo que literalmente es. para que entendáis el significado.
Pero claro, ¿vas a explicar la frase? ¿Vas a explicarnos cuál es el sentido literal de la frase y darnos un ejemplo de cómo se utilizaría esta frase?
Os daré la frase en español, una en inglés para que comprendáis el sentido y unos ejemplos.
Perfecto. Entonces, ¿cuál es la frase idiomática del día?
De perillas.
De perillas.
Sí, me viene de perillas.
Me viene de perillas. Una pregunta, entonces, ¿qué es una perilla?
Una perilla tiene muchos significados. Uno de ellos es en la montura del caballo.
In a horse saddle.
La perilla es la parte de la montura que utiliza la persona encima del caballo para mantener el equilibrio.
Entonces, en inglés, creo, no estoy seguro porque no sé nada de los caballos, pero creo que esto se llama the pommel. It's the part of the horse's saddle that the person who's riding the horse uses to keep their balance, basically.
Yes, that is the exactly.
Okay, pero ¿qué quiere decir venir de perillas?
¿Qué tiene que ver, verdad? Se refiere a algo que es exactamente lo que necesitas.
Y entonces esta cosa te viene de perillas.
Te viene de perillas.
Como la perilla que te ayuda a mantener el equilibrio si el caballo está...
Cabalgando.
Cabalgando.
Sí.
Muy bien.
Te pongo un ejemplo. Si me dices, tengo un amigo que está vendiendo su casa y yo en ese momento estoy buscando casa para comprar... Y nos pones en contacto, me viene de perillas, me viene muy bien.
Entonces te viene exactamente al mismo momento en el cual necesitas esta cosa. En este caso, la casa.
La casa, sí.
Muy bien, pues si nuestros oyentes estuvieran buscando alguna frase interesante que utilizar esta semana.
Esta frase les viene de perillas.
Perfecto, pues muchas gracias, Laura. ¿Y quieres volver la semana que viene?
Por supuesto, estoy muy dispuesta.
Perfecto.
Hasta luego.
Muchas gracias a Laura por su frase idiomática de la semana. And now it's time to go over to Seattle to JP and Nayeli with this week's listener's question.
Coffee Break Español! Thanks, Mark. This is JP Villanueva for Coffee Break Spanish, and I'm here with Nayeli. Hi, Nayeli.
Hola, JP.
Hola, and thanks everyone for listening. Nayeli, let's get right to our question for today.
Sounds good. Our first question comes from Sri Lanka.
Wow.
So Molly wants to know how to distinguish between feminine and masculine gender, because as we know in Spanish, we need to consider those when we are using our nouns. She wants to know how to distinguish between the two when it comes to...
masculine and feminine.
Objects, yes.
Okay. Well, Molly, that's a great question. Now, as you know, in Spanish, we have two genders. They're called masculine and feminine. And every noun in Spanish, whether it's a person or not, is going to have a gender. For example, a chair is feminine.
La silla.
La silla. We know it's feminine because it starts with the feminine article, la. On the other hand, a word like book is masculine.
El libro.
El libro. As you can see, we're using the article el to say that it's masculine. Now, to us English speakers, chairs and books are not gender-specific objects, right? We don't think of them as masculine or feminine or male or female. But in Spanish, they do have to have this grammatical gender, and you do have to know it. So Molly's question is, how do I know if one is going to be feminine and one is going to be masculine? Well, there's two ways I can answer this, Molly. The first way is to tell you, you just have to memorize it.
Memorization is not the key or the only key here.
That's right. Now, you can follow those word endings as a guide. Let's take that word for chair again.
La silla.
Now, la silla ends in an A, so words that end in A tend to be feminine. The word for book ends in an O.
El libro.
El libro. And words that end in an O tend to be masculine. Now, the problem is there's a bunch of words that seem to violate this concept. Like, for example...
El problema.
The problem. So here's a word that ends in A, but we use the article el.
La mano.
The hand. And here's a word that ends in O, but we use the article la. So there are exceptions to that A and O rule, Molly. So, and then of course, there's a bunch of nouns that don't end in A or O, like the word for student.
estudiante.
Now, estudiante can be masculine.
El estudiante.
Or it could be feminine.
La estudiante.
All right. So it's not enough just to look at the endings of words. Molly, what you're going to have to do in order to know the gender of these words is to memorize them with the article el or la.
Correcto.
So when you're studying, don't just look at the word libro. Always say el libro. Don't memorize the word problema, but memorize the word el problema. And that way, if you learn the nouns together with their articles, you can't go wrong. Molly, that was a great question. That's it for the Q&A Spanish segment of this Coffee Break Spanish magazine. If you'd like to hear more Q&A from Nayeli and I, we have our own show where we can answer more of your questions. Join us over at QandaSpanish.com or follow the links on the Radiolingua website. Remember, our questions come from our listeners. So go to the website, QandaSpanish.com, and there you can find a number of different ways that you can submit your question. The website is QandaSpanish. Spell out the word and. QandaSpanish.com. Nayeli, I think it's time that we throw it back to Mark in Scotland.
Sounds good.
Hasta luego.
Adiós.
Muchísimas gracias, JP y Nayeli. Bueno, ya está por hoy. That's almost us for this first edition of the Coffee Break Spanish magazine. Once again, if you'd like to find out more about the magazine and how you can benefit from the full range of materials, head over to coffeebreakspanishmagazine.com or just visit us at the Radiolingua website. Of course, if you can't wait until next week for your next fix of Coffee Break Spanish, then head over to Facebook at facebook.com/coffeebreakspanish or indeed Twitter, twitter.com/learnspanish. And there you can join a vibrant language learning community and share your thoughts on our new magazine. We really do hope you like it. One final thing before I go, and that is just to mention something. We'll talk again about it next week, but we thought you'd like to know, if you're a long-time fan of the Coffee Break Spanish, you might be interested in nominating Coffee Break Spanish, or indeed Coffee Break French, or any of our other podcast language courses for the 2012 Podcast Awards. Nominations for the awards have just opened and they'll remain open until the 15th of October. It's not really our style to push award nominations or anything like that, but if we don't mention it, then you might never know it's there. So if you are interested in nominating Coffee Break Spanish for a podcast award, then please do head to podcastawards.com and list your nominations there. Coffee Break Spanish for the education category and indeed People's Choice or Best Produced if you feel that that's where we should be. That's it for this week. We'll be back again next time with more Coffee Break Spanish magazine. In the meantime, muchísimas gracias y hasta muy pronto. Coffee Break
Español. This podcast was brought to you by the Radiolingua Network. Find out more at www.radiolingua.com.